We want to welcome you to a series of teaching sessions that accompany the book Motivate Your Child Action Plan. What we're going to do is try to give you some ideas, practical solutions that can help you move your child from point A to point B and help your child change. Let's take a moment, introduce ourselves. My name is Scott Taransky. My wife's name is Carrie, and Carrie and I have five children. And it is our desire at the National Center for Biblical Parenting to help you reach a child's heart.
And my name is Joanne Miller. My husband's name is Ed. Ed and I have two sons, Dave and Tim, and we've been working with families for a long time now, helping parents to develop strategies for working with their kids.
What we want to help you understand today is how to move to a heart-based approach to parenting using a plan. Many parents don't have a plan. They tend to just react to life situations. They take things as they go, and sometimes that works, and the spontaneity seems to flow. But many times, if we don't have a plan, then relationships get damaged, or tension increases in the family, or change actually isn't seen the way we'd like it. So it's important for parents to have a specific plan. We've developed some tools that can help you develop that plan for your child.
Sometimes parents will have a plan for a particular situation, but they haven't stepped back to look at the bigger plan for the child's life. So we want to help you develop a plan that's going to move your child forward in life, to take a starting point of what the problems are, develop a strategy around solving some of those problems on a heart level, then helping the child move forward. So we're going to walk you through those plans, how to develop them, how to look at your child differently, and what does a heart-based approach to parenting look like anyway?
It's important to realize that every child's unique. So if we develop this plan for your first child, your second child's going to need a different plan. You might use some similar tools, some additional strategies or techniques, but the idea is that you want to develop a unique plan for that particular child. We're going to show you in the course of our time together not only how to develop that plan, but we're going to teach you how to position yourself so that as your child is bouncing around in life and not making the changes, you'll have positioned yourself wisely as a parent so that when that child's ready to make the changes that are necessary to move forward, things are in order and the child's able to make significant progress. We also want to help you know how to set up the plan so that your child takes ownership for that. And so we're going to teach you how to transfer responsibility to your child. That's going to be a significant part of this so that your child's a part of the plan. You're not just dictating something, but you're requiring, and hopefully with your child's cooperation, but sometimes we don't have that luxury, but you're going to require that your child be part of the development of the strategy. So all of that's going to work together as we try to move forward and help you develop a specific plan for change for your child.
And we find that these kinds of plans, is a way of looking at parenting, ends up being so encouraging for parents because you know where you're headed, you can see progress, gauge it along the way, adjust the plan if you need to, but there's hope built right into the way, this way of working with children. Children feel more hopeful, parents feel more hopeful, so we want to encourage you along those paths.
That's so important because I think that sometimes when parents read parenting books or they go to parenting seminars, they go away feeling guilty that they're not doing something that they need to do, and so the dominant emotion that they leave with is guilt. That's not going to happen as you listen to us or read our books. What you're going to find is hope. You're going to find plans to move forward. You're going to see a hopeful and encouraging response. And as you then work with your child, you'll likely see some quick changes with your child. But whether you do or not, you'll know how to position yourself well so your child can make those changes.
So we want to encourage you in that. We also want to help you to seek the Lord's guidance as you develop your plan, as you think about your child in some positive terms and not just negative ones. And bring that all before the Lord and allow the Lord to guide you and lead you as you develop a plan.
Praying with your child is so important. And if your child's open to spiritual things, that prayer together can maximize the change. But if your child's at this point unwilling to pray with you, you want to spend time praying for your child. Because that prayer for you that you have for your child will change you. It'll prepare you more for what God wants to do because the Holy Spirit wants to work in your family. The Holy Spirit's drawing your child in a particular way. The Holy Spirit's revealing to you things that you need to change. And as you're sensitive to that process, then you're working where God is working. And when we work where God is working, that's where we can maximize change. We can't force a child to change. God is the one who changes a child's heart. But we can work in conjunction with what God is doing to prompt that change inside the child.
And so we want, as parents, we want to be tuned into what God is doing. We want to be looking to Him for that leadership and the guidance. And we want to be sensitive to what He's doing. And that happens often through prayer. As we're praying for our children, sometimes we're just praying about the problems. But God can bring new light to the situation, make us sensitive to where He's working. And then we can be a bigger part of His plan as we work with our child.
So let's stop for a moment now. And I want you to think about a problem that exists in your family. Think of, and we'll talk more specifically about how to develop the strategy, and we'll list, identify, and identify specific behaviors that your child's doing wrong. But think about an area that's causing some conflict, a problem that's creating a struggle inside your home. And when you do that, likely it's going to make you feel sad. Now, maybe it makes you feel angry, and typically as parents, we do feel angry when our kids are doing the wrong things. And so we have to be able to address that anger. It's not wrong to feel angry, but if we start using that anger to solve problems, then bad things happen. We would suggest that you get in touch with the sadness that the challenge presents to you and to your family and to that child. You know that if that child doesn't get some help, then the child's going to experience some real difficult challenges later on in life. So you want to be looking for ways that you can first identify with that sadness and then maybe start raising the awareness level with the child so the child can start grasping the idea that there's a problem here. Many kids don't recognize that.
Some children are very content to live with their problems. This is the way life is. It's who I am. And we want to help them to see that there's a better way to live. There's a different way to be responding to life's challenges. And it's going to be more hopeful, not only that, but it's going to move you forward in life. You'll do better in relationships. You'll feel better about yourself. So as we help the child to see that this area is a problem, but there's a different way to live, and we're going to help you move there.
So you might think in terms of this sadness and a wish that you communicate sadness. Now, when you communicate sadness, be sure it's not disappointment in your child. What you're doing is basically communicating that I'm sad that there's a problem we have here, or that you're having a problem with your brother. I'm sad that our morning times are having struggles or tension. I'm disappointed in how it's happening that we're working on homework. The communication here is that it's damaging relationship, that we need to do something about it, and the sadness that you communicate at this point is helpful. And then share a wish that we could find a solution. This isn't the time to necessarily share your solution. You'll develop that over the coming sessions. But now you're just communicating a wish that something could be better. And even as you do that with your child, there's a sense of hope that your child may start developing inside too, because your child probably wishes that things were better too.
Well, it's interesting because I think sometimes kids, they need that from us. It communicates a sense of empathy. Because now it's just not the parent saying you have a problem and the child feeling discouraged, but the parent is coming alongside saying, hey, I'm sad about this. Life is not going as smoothly as we would like. I don't feel as close to you maybe as I would like to. Let's work together at this. That sense of empathy touches a child's heart, and I think softens that child's heart and maybe helps them to be more open to changes that need to be made.
In part, what you're doing in this technique with the sadness and a wish is to raise the awareness level for a child so the child can realize there's a problem here and that change is in the air. We may not be giving specifics yet, but we're just putting on notice the idea that some big changes are going to be taking place.
Now, for some parents, this idea of communicating sadness is a real challenge because their habit is to communicate anger. And that may be the only emotion they recognize, even in their own heart, is their anger about this, and it's disrupting family life, and the child seems to be defiant and disobedient on purpose, and they're struggling with their own anger. So as a parent, just take some time and examine your own heart and maybe the anger that you're feeling, and talk to the Lord about that, replacing that anger with sadness, allowing that softer emotion to come through.
When you identify a particular challenge or problem that you're having with your child, or your child is having with himself or someone else, we're going to call that point A. You'll hear us through the course of this time together, over the various sessions that we spend together, referring to point A and point B. Point A is the problem place. It's the place where the child's experiencing the challenge. And our goal is to move the child to point B in their lives. Now, that change will take place over a period of time. Hopefully, we're going to see some change rather quickly, and using the strategies and techniques we offer in this book, you'll likely see some good change take place rather quickly. However, sometimes that change takes place over a period of time, and we need to be sensitive to that. But point A is the point where we are now, and we want to recognize that that's a very important place for us to identify. Because once we identify where the problem is, that'll set the stage for us to move forward and think about where we're going to go as we try to move toward point B.
And sometimes as parents come to this idea of identifying point A, there's so many problems, so many things going on, and it's hard to identify that. So we're going to take you through a process of identifying what point A are we going to work on right now. And that's not just an individual problem, but it's a character weakness that we want to identify in a child's life. Once we've identified the weakness, then we have the ability to identify the target area. Where are we going with this? But we have to know what area we're working on. We can't work on everything in a child's life all at once. So we want to identify a specific point A. This is the problem area we're going to focus on first.
Now, once we understand where we are and the problem that we're going to try to work on, we want to start thinking in terms of solutions. As soon as parents start identifying problems, they're often quick to move into the solutions they've used that haven't worked over a period of time. Many of the solutions that parents use today are behavior modification solutions. Solutions that rely on behavior modification to change children. That's reward and punishment. I'll give you this if you do what I say, or I'll give you that if you will accomplish this task. And when we use rewards to motivate children, we create some challenges in their own thinking because kids start asking the wrong questions about life. What's in it for me? You going to pay me for that? And furthermore, they look for the minimum to get done. And if they can get that minimum done, then they're freed up. They're ready to go. And the whole process of just giving rewards to children for accomplishing tasks misses some of the deeper thinking we want our children to have. Now, sometimes rewards work just because we're trying to get something done quickly and it's a simple task that needs to be done. But many of the tasks we want our children to develop or their abilities are things like seeing what needs to be done and doing it, managing themselves in the mornings, finishing their homework and organizing it and then turning it in. Offering rewards for that kind of behavior is a poor motivator because it's not addressing the internal motivators that are necessary to complete those complex tasks. Therefore, we end up with some significant problems. Behavior modification used on its own is a weakness, and we need to move away from that to build internal motivation in children instead of relying on externals.
The foundation of our home ministry is helping parents to develop heart-based strategies. And that can be even contrasted to this idea of reward and punishment, because what we're doing is we want to develop internal motivation in a child. We want the heart to be moving in the right direction. We want to develop heart qualities that are positive qualities, motivating children to do the right thing for the right reasons. And that's in contrast to this idea of reward and punishment. You do the right thing, so you get a reward. You do the right thing to avoid punishment. And so often as parents are looking for strategies, they're focused on this reward and punishment because that's all they know. That's all we've been trained in so far. And so as we come with a heart-based approach, it's a new way of looking at children and motivating them. How do we develop internal motivation in a child's heart so they're making the right decisions in life? They're making choices based on what's right, not just what am I going to get out of it.
When you think about internal motivation in yourself, what does that mean? What does it look like? I would suggest there are several things that drive us as adults to be internally motivated, and you can use some of those things broken down to a child's level to help them develop. For example, The whole idea of growing, developing, becoming more mature is something that drives us as adults. I'm developing my patience, or I'm growing in my ability to handle my anger. All of those things drive us internally to move forward. I'm becoming more organized, or I'm becoming more thoughtful. All of those are ways that we find ourselves encouraged internally, and we don't need a reward to move us forward because our personal development is progressing, and we like that. We like what we see, and it encourages us as on the inside. A second kind of internal motivation has to do with accomplishing a goal of some kind. I'm developing a skill, or I'm reaching an objective. I'm going to get a certain amount of things done today, and when I get them done, I'm going to feel good about that. That internal feeling good is internal motivation. It doesn't have to do with a reward. I don't have to give myself a bowl of ice cream at the end of the day if I accomplish my to-do list. Because I'm internally motivated, I feel good about accomplishing that. And the third kind of internal motivation is fitting into the bigger plan of life. When I see that my contribution to life is helping other people on a grander scale, I'm internally motivated. Now, children can find those same three internal motivations in their own life. They're growing, they're almost 13 years old, or they're almost 6 years old. And we want to help you develop this quality in your life because it'll help you to be more successful at that age. Or to be able to help children accomplish a task. Doesn't it feel good to get your room cleaner? Doesn't it feel good to complete your homework? Let's see if tomorrow we can accomplish that in a more efficient way so that you can experience that same good feeling. Or we're working in our family toward a larger whole. Our family is identified by being a family that works hard and plays hard. So as we work together, we're that family who is able to work hard and play together. We enjoy that. Or our family's characterized by honor. We honor other people. And when a child's fitting into this bigger whole, then they're more internally motivated to move forward. Now, we're going to show you how to draw upon those three forms of internal motivation and many more as we go through this book and these teaching sessions, because we want you to know how to help your children build internal motivation for themselves.
So hopefully what you're hearing here is it's going to make some changes in us as parents as we think differently about working with our children. We would suggest that the words that you use each day as you're talking to your child are going to be different. They're going to be more future-oriented, positive qualities we're developing, not just what are you going to get out of it externally. How are you going to benefit internally from this new thing that we're asking you to do, or this new way of reacting in life? So as parents, our vocabulary changes, the way we're working with our children, moving them forward, helping them develop that internal drive to do what's right and to develop a quality to be internally motivated now to make different choices in life.
We often say that in order for children to change, parents need to change first. When parents change, children have to change. And if we can help parents understand the strategic changes they can make, then it really helps the process to move forward. What we want to do for you is we want to maximize your positioning in your relationship with your child to motivate change. And as we give you ideas and strategies, that's going to help you. You're going to find yourself making some adjustments in the way you think, adjustments in the way you act, and the adjustments in the way you relate to your child. You're going to choose timing in a different way. You're going to choose your words, as Joanne just said, that it may be different because you're trying to position yourself well to work in tune with what God is doing inside your child to bring that child more to a maturity level needed to match the challenges that are faced out there.
So as you take time working through this book, reading the action plan, developing your own action plan for your child, I think you'll find that the direction it gives you is going to be really helpful. So you know how to respond to the individual situations in family life. I think as parents, often we feel like, what do I do now? What do I do about this? Do I react with grace? Do I react with justice? How do I respond to this particular thing that's happening in my home right now? And I think having a plan is so helpful for that because we're looking at the bigger picture. Each day as parents, we can ask those questions with the bigger picture in mind. We can think about, well, what are we working on in this child's life? What is God doing in this child's life? What does my child need from me today? And those are going to bring us the answers that we need, the answers that we're looking for every day. So having a plan can be so helpful for us as parents to keep us focused, keep us moving in the right direction.
I think that sometimes we as parents don't know whether we should turn the jar lid to the left or the right. Do we loosen up or do we tighten up? And I think that is a challenge we all face sometimes. Sometimes we become too tight and strict with our kids and we need to back off and emphasize relationship. Other times we've emphasized relationship so much that the looseness of the relationship has allowed children to become more lax in their character development. So in that case, we need to tighten up. You'll evaluate those kind of things as you are listening to these sessions and working through this book. Sometimes you're going to tighten up. Other times you're going to loosen up. We're going to show you what to do and how to do that and how to make those decisions to maximize the change in your child.
So what we want to do is walk you through a process of working with your child. We want to be coaches to you in your parenting. We feel like this book is going to help you develop that plan and then know how to implement it. We're going to encourage you with these audio sessions, chapter by chapter, to help you stay on track and to know how to move forward with your child.
Here's a fun thing you can do with your child. You might ask your child, "Are you a Christian?" And many children will respond, "Yes." Some will respond no, which gives you opportunity to dialogue with them about their decision to accept Christ. But the second question is also important. The second question is, does God speak to you? It's amazing to me how many young people or how many children say no to that question. And the reason they say no is because they're imagining an audible voice. But the reality is that God does speak to us every day. God speaks to us in our hearts. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through parents. He speaks to parents through children. God speaks. And when God speaks, we need to listen. If we can help our children catch that vision for what God wants to do in their lives, then good things can happen. Now, we don't want to present a view of God that's negative, that's only emphasizing the wrath and the justice and the holiness of God. Those are important qualities for children to understand. But they also need to understand that God is a Father who comforts us, who cares for us, who's gentle, who knows that every hair of our head is numbered. He knows all kinds of intricate things about us. He cares about us specifically. And when we understand that God cares about us and He speaks to us, then He empowers us. We call that empowerment grace. We need grace as parents. And God speaks to us as parents to help us make changes in our lives. And God does the same with kids. God wants to give kids the ability to move forward. He wants to give them the grace they need to be able to move forward. When God says to Paul, when Paul wanted to get rid of some thorn in the flesh, God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, the strength that I'm going to give you is going to help you deal with the challenge that you face today. The same thing is true for all of us. The grace that God provides helps the parent deal with the challenges that the child is facing and the way that we relate to that child. And God gives grace to the child to deal with the challenges the child is facing. So when we can help children get in touch with that grace and understand that God wants to help them change, then good things can happen. Good things will happen to help the child change and develop more patience or thoughtfulness or organization skills, but it also helps children become more connected to their Heavenly Father and recognizing that it's in that dynamic that God touches us in very personal ways.
As we look at our parenting in this way, parenting becomes a very spiritual experience. As we're seeking the Lord's guidance, as we're looking to Him for strength and for wisdom, He's going to lead us. And it helps us as parents to strengthen our walk with the Lord as we see our parenting in this way.
It helps us develop a teamwork approach with our children. That's what we want. Sometimes we have a policeman approach, and through the course of your time with us, you're going to learn how to develop a coaching attitude with your child. And that coaching attitude is going to propel your relationship in a way that's going to put the problem outside instead of between you. I find that many parents allow the problem to get between them and the child. And now the parent and child seem to be fighting over a particular problem. Instead, we want to move the problem outside of the relationship. So the parent and child now view the problem outside, and they are working together to solve that problem. Whatever that problem is, if you're having trouble being kind to your obnoxious sister, we're going to help you do that. But it's a problem that's out there, and now the parent is helping the child work together in order to overcome that problem.
And this becomes a very freeing attitude then for us as parents, as we can partner with our child. It develops that relationship that's so important. We want to be close to our kids, but so often parenting gets in the way of that closeness. Well, we want to show you a way that the parenting can enhance the closeness, build the relationships in your home so that you can enjoy relationships as you're working as a parent. Some of the days are going to be difficult. They're going to be stressful. We have to challenge our children in ways they don't want to be challenged. But the reality is it's part of a bigger picture that's encouraging, that's developing closeness in our relationships. And I think parents and children find this, again, so hopeful as they're moving forward in life, seeing progress, celebrating that together, and really enjoying life.
We want you to know why this plan that we're sharing works. The reason we've chosen the specific things in the plan that's going to unfold over the next several chapters and audio lessons is because they come from our relationship with God and how God relates to us. You see, God identifies point A areas in our lives, things that need to change. And He raises the awareness level of those things. The Bible says that we grieve the Holy Spirit, and that takes place when we sin. When we talk about a sadness and a wish to help children change, God does the same thing with us. He's helping us change by revealing the particular problem, and we become more aware of it. Just like at first, you're going to help your child become more aware of the problem that exists. And then they're going to start developing some hope for some movement forward. And God does the same thing with us. We start at point A where we have a problem now and we're frustrated about the problem and sometimes we complain about the problem. And God looks at that and He says, okay, you're at point A and I'm going to move you on to point B and I'm going to call that process sanctification or growth in Christ. And so we start growing in our relationship with Christ and God takes the challenges of our life and He turns them into stepping stones where character is developed and hope then is the result and good things happen and we start to see ourselves moving toward point B. Now we've taken that spiritual dynamic that God uses as He works with us and we've taken it apart, tried to understand it, and then apply it developmentally to children who are 3 or 5 or 8 or 12 or 15 years old so that parents can take the same skills, the same strategies and help their children make some changes. Because only two people can change the heart of a child. One is God and the other is the child can make those changes as well. The child can change the heart. We call that process repentance, a change of heart. The parent can't force a change of heart, but we can certainly influence it. And we want to be trying to influence that process as much as we can. We're just going to embrace the same kind of strategies that God uses to change us as we try to move forward and help our children make those strategic changes. One of the things we want you to understand is that your home is a discipleship center. It's focused on the heart. It's the place where God wants all of us to grow. A discipleship center means that we are all working together in order to be the people that God wants us to be. Children are growing. Parents are growing. Everyone's growing. It's like a laboratory for growth. So you can expect that over the next period of time, God is going to speak to you as a child of God. And as God speaks to you and tries to touch your heart, be receptive and listen to what He wants to do. After all, you're at point A, and God wants you to move you forward to point B in your life, and God often uses the challenge of child rearing to make that possible in each one of our lives. May God richly bless you as you continue this process and listen to these audio presentations, work through the book. We pray that God will touch you in some significant ways and help you grow in your parenting. God is moving.